So again, I want to say happy early new year. I hope that you are excited to go into 2019. And I know that I have definitely in 2018 have had my setbacks, and I've had great successes, and I've had sad times as well. But, you know, all of that is a part of life. But in the end, I'm just grateful to be one of God's children. So has anyone set any New Year's resolutions yet? Anyone? I know Steve told me that he has. But as we all know, there are a lot of cliche New Year's resolutions that people choose. Like, they want to lose more weight in the next year. They want to eat healthy. Maybe you want to work a little harder, make a little bit more money, and maybe even simplify your life. But have you ever really thought about making one of your New Year's resolutions being present? You may be thinking that being present is a weird New Year's resolution, but it would make a huge difference in your perspective of life. We need to leave quantity and perfection behind and bring in quality in being present. What if we could be present even in uncertainty and choose to live our life without our feet firmly planted on the ground, knowing that no matter what storm may be ahead, that we will be okay, and that we can even be joyful in the moment? Wouldn't that be amazing? I know that I struggle with this a lot, and that's part of the reason why I'm preaching about it this morning, about being present. I personally need to work on this, and I'm sure that many others do as well. Being present is not about waiting on a miracle. It isn't about hoping for a fairy tale, but it is about believing that no matter what is happening in our lives, that this moment right now is all that matters. And I just want to say, I'm going off of my sermon already, but you know, when we're at home with family or like having a Christmas Eve dinner or opening presents, and I'm guilty of this because I just did it, but like I know I was sitting on my phone a lot during the time that we were, I was with Phil's family and my family, but I wasn't being present in that moment of being with family. And I think that looking back, like I know that in the next year and hopefully in years to come, I need to learn how to be more present in the moment that I'm in. So then that way I have memories to have and I can feel joyful and be able to kind of bring about a peace that I believe is from God. But being present really has to do with being content wherever we are. Wouldn't it be amazing to live your life with content? However, contentment is something that we all severely struggle with. We see one thing and we want it, and then we get it, and then we want what we had in the past again. Has this ever happened to you? It's definitely happened to me quite a few times. As you all know, well, maybe not all of you, but for those who don't know, I've had quite a few full-time jobs in the past couple years. But my struggle is that I get this new full-time job to help supplement Phil and I's income, and then I'm like, oh, I kind of miss my old job. Like, this wasn't as nice as I thought it was going to be. But, I mean, that is a part of life. However, it makes me want to be where I was before. And I'm sure some of you can relate. Part of the whole reason why I'm preaching about this today is that on December 3rd, I was driving to Higher Ground Conference Center for the pastor and spouse's Christmas dinner. And I was coming straight from my new job. And, of course, I was running late. But this time, it really wasn't my fault because I was allowed to leave early, but it was just really, really busy. So I had to be running late that time. But while I was driving from Mason to Harrison, Indiana, I really wasn't paying much attention on the clock, but I was paying more attention on the road. And God said something so profound to me, and this is what really made me feel led to preach about being present today. He told me, "Jillian, focus on the journey you are currently on. Do not worry so much about the future and how long it will take to get there. Focus on now." With that being said, I really, really struggle with having discontentment in my heart at times because I really want to be able to be, you know, in full-time ministry. I feel like God's called me to be a pastor, and it's hard when you don't get to do it full-time. It's hard having a job that is, you know, is not what you want to do for the rest of your life, but that is not God's plan for me at the moment. And when we are always wanting more and wanting to move ahead of God's timing, it causes us to be unable to be present in the moment, and that brings us discontentment. Discontentment takes various shapes and forms. We can feel discontent about how we look or what we have because of the influence of TV and social media. We feel discontent when we stand in front of the microwave tirelessly waiting for that food to be done so we can eat it right now. Right? Yes. A thing that I do all the time, and it's really weird. If you see me doing it now, you'll know what it is. I do this. So what this is a silent clap. So when I just said that in my head, I was like, that's right. It's like a silent amen, basically. But we also feel discontent when we talk about our weight or what we have or even what we don't have. If only I had this, my life would be so much better. If only I had more time. Steve and I were just talking about time this morning. If only I had more time to do more, my life would be so much better. If only I had more money to pay bills, my life would be so much better. But we feel discontent even when we get those things. We feel discontent when it comes to our technology. And yes, we love our devices when they work, but as soon as they stop working perfectly, we feel this need to just throw it away and get a new one. Why is that? And I'm all of this, just so you know, I am a heavy victim of. So just want to let you know. But we also can feel discontent when it comes to our job or lack of a job. We can feel discontent in our relationships. And we can feel discontent because we have, you know, a lack of time and money. And in every single scenario, we are always wishing for more. We want our way. And honestly, we are like little toddlers when it comes to not getting our way. We may not scream and cry and cause a ruckus in the grocery store because we have to have candy and our mom just won't give it to us. But we definitely do get upset when we do not get our way. And whether you like it or not, this is so true. I mean, give me a hand if you've ever been upset about something not going your way, and in your head, you're honestly freaking out like a little kid. Come on. Let's be honest here. We all do this. We are just never satisfied. For us, there's a huge difference between where we are and where we wish we could be. There's a drive in our society for things to be spectacular and over the top, and we enforce that so heavily into this world, but it ends up being full of drama and unhappiness, and in the end, we just end up making a list of grievances. We always just want a little bit more. We don't focus on being present. Our need to desire all the time is an exact reflection of God's willingness to give abundantly. The problem is not the neediness within us. The problem is that we would rather have things than what God has to offer us. If only we could just open up our souls to what God has to offer us, things would be so much easier. He created us to love people and use things. But somewhere along the way, we got this completely mixed up. We now use people and love things, which causes discontentment in our hearts. And I just want to say that one more time, because I feel like I really hadn't even thought about that heavily before putting the sermon together. Excuse me. But God created us to love people and to use things, but somewhere along the way, we have gotten this mixed up. We now use people and love things, which causes us discontentment. If only we could learn how to soak up what God offers for us in that moment. We need to learn to be present and find goodness right where we are in this moment. So, just as a practice round, let's try to find goodness in this moment right now. Just think about that. I am so grateful to be here in front of you this morning, bringing God's word. And hopefully you are sitting there listening, just soaking up what God wants to say to you this morning. You know, going into this sermon, I was really nervous and I didn't think it was going to be very good, to be honest. Because preaching, I mean, I feel like God's called me into ministry, but I think preaching is somewhere in there, but definitely not a distinct call like, Jillian, you're going to preach all the time. That's right. No. I don't think that's what God's saying to me about my calling. But I'm just grateful that I have the ability to preach every once in a while and be able to practice. I appreciate that. And just thank you so much for that. So, when I think about finding true contentment, I think about Paul. We hear about Paul in Acts, but before he became Paul, his name was Saul. In his past life, he had so many things. He had lots of money. He was highly educated. He came from one of the finest Jewish families. He could honestly have anything he wanted. But he was so discontent in his life and so self-righteous that he felt the need to persecute many Christians beyond measure. There really was no hope for him to find contentment in anything in his life when he was focusing just on what he wanted. It wasn't until he had that personal encounter with Christ did everything change. If you've ever had an encounter with Christ, then you should know that this is a moment that creates huge change in your life. If you've never had an encounter with Christ, I want to let you know that God is waiting for you to accept him, and that the encounter that you will have with him will be one that will change your life in major ways, things that you would just never expect. For Saul, it was a huge shift, a shift to wanting what God desires for him instead of his own desires. He persecuted Christians, and then he started to make Christians. Not make them, but you know. He began by loving things and using people to attempt to make him content. But when he encountered Christ, he began to love people and use things to bring them to Christ. Love people and let go of all the stuff. How much stuff do you think the apostle had at the end of his life? Near the end of his life, he really didn't have much when it comes to our standards, but in one of his letters, we can learn about life through a thank you note he wrote to the Philippian church. If you want to read along, I will be reading from Philippians 4, 10 through 13. I'm actually going to read the New American Standard Bible version, but the Philippian church gave Paul money, and in this letter, he tells us that he was truly thankful for that. It says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You can be present through God who strengthens you. It's not being present and contentment. It's not something that is in us, but we have to learn that. But God can help us through that. The Greek word for contentment means independent from others. Paul wrote this when he was in chains in a Roman prison. He was nearing his death, and all he had was himself. He did not write these words from an ivory tower or from a castle or from, like, a really hip coffee shop. He wrote them after a very long life of figuring out how to be content. He spent his life working tirelessly to help others learn about Jesus. A lot of theologians believe that Paul had some type of affliction. Some believe that he had bad eyesight or arthritis. But even with his physical struggle, he learned to be present and enjoy every moment. People who were around Paul felt a peace that they could not explain. They felt a peace that was from Christ. And so this contentment is not in us. It is something that we have to learn. Shut off that voice, what others think of us and what others have. We learn contentment when we change our perspective on things. We need to learn how to be thankful and how to make the best out of any situation. There is a story that I'm going to tell you, and it is about the shopkeeper and the goat. I don't think it's a very popular story, but it's a great story about perspective. A man who had a very large family frequently shopped at a grocery store where the same shopkeeper helped him every time he went through the line. The man would constantly complain about his life and what he has and does not have. He would say, "My house is entirely too small to fit me, my wife, and all of our children. If only I could have a bigger house, everything would be less stressful." After the shopkeeper heard this story many, many, many times, he said to the man, "Can I give you a piece of advice? Buy a goat." So the shopkeeper, the man who wanted to change his life so badly listened to the shopkeeper and brought a goat home, thinking that maybe that might work. But the next time he went into the grocery store, he told the shopkeeper, "This goat is making a huge mess of our house, and we don't have enough space for him. It's cramped and crowded, and he smells. I just wish he was gone." And then the shopkeeper told him to just get rid of the goat. And so the man did. And then the next time he came into the store, he told the shopkeeper, "I am so happy. I had no idea how much space we truly had for our family." When he got the goat and then got rid of the goat, he realized that he did have enough space. His perspective changed. The shopkeeper was able to help change the perspective of how this man felt about his house. Maybe that's something that we need to do when it comes to what we have or what we don't have. We need a change of perspective. And we need to just think about, well, what if it was, you know, what if we had even more people in here? Like, it would be a lot more cramped, but we don't, and we have plenty of space, really. That's just talking from a shelter standpoint, but that can work in all things. So being present takes a journey to trust in God and that God will provide. When we start to feel that discontentment in our heart and it bubbles up to the point where we can't take it, or even to the point that we can, just soak all of that up, all of that discontentment up in prayer. And I'm going to give you a little prayer to help you out. So I don't know if you feel like you want to write this down, but I think it's pretty good. I'm going to write it down later and put it on my desk. But this prayer is, "God, I'm going to trust you more. Let me experience you in this very moment. Help me be present, God. Help me experience you in this moment. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's just a simple prayer. And I mean, I work at a somewhat stressful, in a somewhat stressful environment with people. I'm sure we all work with people in every way, shape, or form, whether that's our job or just our life. We're in a world of people. And, you know, we're called to love God and love people. And so if you're just at work and you just feel overwhelmed with all these people coming at you with demands and everything like that, just pray this prayer. Say, God, I'm going to trust you more. Let me experience you right now. Help me be present. Help me experience you in this moment. When you do that, you will experience God, because you've let go of the fact that your situation is stressful. And you've been you're now able to experience what is happening in the moment in a different way. You're able to be thankful for the fact that the guy is demanding you to lower his rent because of maintenance issues. I don't know. Because he is also a child of God. When we are present, we are able to experience things in a way that we would not expect. Contentment is an inner sense of rest and peace and being right with God, knowing that he is in control and God wants what is best for you. Know that he is in control and that God wants what is best for you. I'm going to say it again. Know that he is in control and God wants what's best for you. I feel like that's a really great thing to just remember all of the time. When you want to be present in the moment, you remove all of those things that are superficial and you go to the heart of the conversation that is happening in front of you, or the people who you are with, or the sermon you are listening to. So, I'm sorry, I think I'm really funny, but I'm not. But yeah, going back to being at Christmas with Phil's family, if I just let go of the things that were superficial, if I just let go of Facebook in that moment and playing my little Bejeweled game, because that's fun. It's fun to play. It's a lot of fun, but if I let go of those things, I would be able to enjoy the heart of the conversation that's happening and be able to enjoy the company of who I'm with. And so I like to be free from anxiety and have contentment that is deeply rooted in our soul. Just think about how you would feel if you just had contentment so deep in your soul that you just felt free from the anxiety of the craziness of the moment. What if we really live that out? I know it's really scary to be present in the moment, because it really makes us vulnerable. It's a lot easier to just do what I did and sit on my phone and just text somebody or play a game or just not really pay attention to what's going on around me. But if I let go of that, I do become vulnerable. But the great thing about it is that I get to experience who's around me and what's going on. The people in our lives, if we really lived out having contentment in our souls and being free from anxiety and being present, the people in our lives would experience us. They would experience us, not us with our device, not us with, I don't know, whatever else you keep with you. But they would experience us living in the moment. And they would probably feel like they need to do that as well. It's kind of awkward when you're at a table and everybody's talking and everybody's having a great time, but you're the only one not really there. It's really awkward. I'm not trying to call you out or anything. I'm just, I think it's an interesting thought. But the people around us would experience us living in the moment. And it's here in the moment that we would truly open up our souls and experience God. When we let the Holy Spirit in, we open up ourselves up to that God will be with us no matter what we go through. We will experience contentment by the way we love, and by and the world will also experience and witness Christ lived out through us, because we are living in the moment. We are being present. And when we do that, people experience that peace that Paul's friends, and maybe not friends as well, his enemies, we'd be experiencing that same peace that his colleagues all felt when they were around him. That, what's different about this guy? We hear this all the time. You know, what's different about Debbie? What's different about Becky? What is it that she believes in, or what is it that she does? Why is she like that? But it's because you've opened your heart up to the Holy Spirit and up to Jesus and Christ and God, and you've allowed him to be on the throne in your life. And when we do this, the people around us will experience our love for them and our love for Christ. They will also experience and witness Christ through us. And so we're beating the Baptist today. Yes, that is right. I really, one of these days I can preach a 30-minute sermon, but it's just, yeah. But you know what? It's okay, because I feel like we've had a really great time this morning. And I just want to encourage you. You know, God really spoke to me in that moment when I was in my car on my way to just eat some food with a bunch of other pastors. He spoke to me, and he said, I'll go back to what I said so it'll sound better. he said to me, it's somewhere in here, I'm sorry. I just really want it to be put together. He said, focus on the journey you are currently on. Just focus on your journey. Do not worry so much about the future and how long it will take to get there. Focus on now. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future. That's the scripture that God gave to me when I felt the call to be a ministry. And I think he was reminding me of that when I was on my way to Higher Ground that day. And so just be present in the moment. And in 2019, I challenge you to do this. I think that this will make a huge difference in the life and our friends' lives around us, and people that we don't know. They won't understand why you are so there, if that makes sense. You're paying attention to them because you care, and that's a big deal. So please stand with me as we pray to end the service today. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us. You have blessed us with wonderful, amazing things that we often forget about or wish were different. We ask that you would hear our prayers and that you would remove any discontentment from our hearts. That every time we fall off the wagon, that we could look up to your hand reaching out to bring us back to you. God, I ask that you help us trust in you more and help us be present in every moment now in 2019 and for years and years to come. Lord, we want to experience you in every moment we are here on earth. Thank you for Jesus, and thank you for the amazing opportunity to have a deep relationship with you and those who we encounter daily. I ask that you be with us this week and in the new year as we go back to the busyness of our everyday lives. Please remind us of what is important. And this is to love you and love others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.